I have incredible respect and the utmost respect, especially for that Minister of Education, to be able to deal with the health challenges that she has, with the courage that she has, and in full view of the public, and to try to do her job, and now to try to reinvent education in Barbados. I fully stand behind her.
Let me make similar comments for you. Everything that you said in terms of the school and the numbers and all those things, I fully support. My difficulty is when you come, you talk about an exam, and you come and add in but Corey and this too and add it on, it distorts the discussion and makes it look like one versus the other when all of them need to be addressed. I'm telling you how it appears to me. I am an expert on how things appear to me.
This is what I was trying to tell you, to just bear with me a while, because it's not a matter of distortion.
But you don't need to bring in these things into that discussion. Those are separate discussions that can all combine. No, when I say the separate discussions of one whole discussion, sir. That's what I'm saying. Okay, don't answer, I want to change the exams when the schools want painting. No. Both need to be done. That is how it appears to me.
But Corey, please, you should know me better than that. I'm not trying to reduce it to that sort of level.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is that what the conversation which you just had with the people is about changing of an educational system, okay? Not so much about changing a common entrance exam. That is about reinventing a system of education for the 21st century.
Right.
Right, and that is we have.
So let me get down to a more productive part of the discussion. Then, how do we pay for these new schools? And because new schools,
it doesn't matter how we pay for it. I heard David Ellis with this thing of how do we pay for this or how do we pay for that. You don't understand. We're paying for it right now.
We are
paying for it in society right now.
Right, I know.
The fact that you're going to ask me how we going to pay for new schools.
All right. Sir, I am not saying it as in you misreading me. No, I'm not saying, oh dear, we ain't got no money to pay for it. How we can pay for it? I can say, how do we get these new schools now? Because the new schools would help to reduce the number per class as well, right?
How do we go about getting them? We're talking about going into zoning,
right?
Okay,
right.
So therefore, I'm saying to myself, all right, if we are going into
another wicket gone,
are we going to set up? And we are setting up. If you're going to look at Barbados and divide in the parts, then we talk about having schools of excellence. Maybe we can build the schools of excellence someplace. So that's adding more schools.
But what I'm saying,
a conversation about building schools.
So we have estimates now. So we should, in the estimates, we should allocate some money to building the schools.
No, but Corey, as I said, the question is, what is the root of the problem?
Right. What's the priority?
When we have the conversations. About the abolition of the common entrance, okay? It is about.
But you gotta be practical.
Not fixing problems.
I want you to be practical, right? We need more schools. You can't just gonna build schools. You have to allocate money from somewhere to build the schools.
But here you go again, Corey.
All I'm asking for you to say is listen, or just build the schools. Full stop. That's what you're saying.
It's not a matter of just build the schools. Mm-hmm. It is building the schools now with a new philosophy.
You mean in the right zones?
Hold on. We have said that we're going to put a system of zoning. Now, one of the challenges, if you say again that you look at educational systems throughout the world, let's look at the educational system in these states and the challenges that they have with zoning. Because you have a lot of
No, kids sir, don't start a new discussion because the plane on the way to the airport.
We're talking about zoning.
No.
And the challenge is that the challenge that they've had is that people in certain zones that are wealthier they say that they're better off than the children in poor zones, okay?
But I'm trying to grasp what you're saying. So you're saying that we need to look at zoning and put these schools, place them appropriately?
Corey.
Or what are you trying to say in a sentence? Put it in a sentence, one sentence. What is it that you're trying to say right now? I genuinely ask.
The most important thing that I believe that is going to come from the statements that the minister has made is that I welcome the conversation that has to happen. And the conversation that has to happen is not just about abolition of a common entrance exam. It is about dealing with the issues within our educational system from primary to secondary to tertiary. And in order to deal with those things, we have to be prepared to say that we have to spend money on fixing the problems that have been identified and not working around those problems with the high hope that, oh, well, they will sort themselves out and mix.
Sir.
The problems that have been identified is that there are too many children in class. The problems that have been identified is dyslexia. The problems that have been identified is that people can't. It takes $21 for somebody to come from St. Lucie to get to a school, to get to thing the other day.
Sir.
Right? These are the issues
that
we need to address. And my fear, right? Well, not my fear. My concern is that we are going to focus so much on the abolition and the expectations that are going to come with the abolition of the common entrance exam that we ignore these other things. And we don't pay attention to what has to be paid attention to.
Thank you very much for calling. This one says, my husband is screaming, bring back the male teachers to teach the males. I never thought I would see that at this stage. I didn't get to a lot of the WhatsApp today. I was trying to get it hooked up onto the computer, one of the screens I'm on. So I want to apologize for that in advance. But I would read a couple of I'll take a call. I'll come back to these right after the regional roundup. So let's say a good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Mr. Lane.
Yes, please.
You got Weedle News?
I believe so, yes. Producer says yes.
I was holding on.
And I bring you. You see me bring you somewhere? See me bring you somewhere?
All you're allocating to me is 3 minutes.
Not me. That is faith of the day.
I want to be able to discuss the matter like all other people.
But you know, Mark.
And local. Will I, hold on. I'm asking a question, so I'm not calling with you.
Right, because you're coming here.
My time is going to be up just now. Will I be able to hold on and come
out? No. You have 3 minutes, so you shouldn't have one.
You don't give some expatriates half an hour, 70 minutes.
But if I combine the time that you have for the whole week, I'm sure it will run into 2 hours.
Hold on, today is Wednesday, Mr. Corey. You acting out.
That's how bad it is. That 3 days at 20 minutes, that
Corey,
is an hour.
Corey, you cannot judge my time.
Look, I can give you the 2 o'clock. Hold on, son. Can I give you the 2? Can I give you the 2 o'clock?
Hold on. What I have to say is extremely important. You acting very disadvantaged,
though. No, Mark. You hold the line. I can let you come back in at. I can let you come back in at 12:05, and I can give you down to the latest at 12:30. How would that sound?
If you take me with a 10 past, that's all.
Okay, pass. Okay, good.
The fucking matter, this is disadvantage to me.
No, man, make your point. We hear you every day, you know. You don't think that. I just get tired hearing you.
You did not hear me on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You did not hear me on Friday. You did not hear me on Thursday. You did not hear me Monday. You did not hear me Tuesday.
We hear you for the last 2 minutes at 12 seconds. So you say anything yet, though?
You got the microphone, and somewhere along the line, people tend to believe you that as far as I'm concerned, I was on.
No, what's happened is a lot. We moderators, we get a lot of slack. But really, truly, I have a producer who produced the show. So when the producer say a break, I could go on talking, but you ain't gonna hear me because they got my microphone volume up there, though. When they do so, poops, I out.
I want D-rate.
Start your thing, and when you hear the music, just go and dance. Come talk to me.
The fall off of Bridgestone. And I want to talk about...
Oh, dear, look at the time. Hold the line, caller. We got to take the regional roundup at this time. It's time to hear from our brothers and sisters. And then we come back to this exciting edition. Ash Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. So you'll hear from Uncle Mark. You got something to look forward to right after the regional roundup. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. We go until 2 p.m. this afternoon. No coverage of any school sports, fortunately or unfortunately. Before we left, we were speaking to former Member of Parliament, constituency representative for St. Michael Northwest, the former Honourable Mr. Mark Williams. Mark Williams, are you still there?
You seem to have got a problem with my activities.
Not at all.
I want it fair to you. Hold on, Corey.
No, Mark, we ain't going all the same more time. No, please get to
this
the point.
Sarcasm must stop. But let me talk to you.
Then the sarcasm. I was giving you your title.
Let me talk to you, right? Mm-hmm. People want to hear what you have to say, so I can say. All this talk about common interest, I want to deal with Bridgetown and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I am very concerned. I hope the Minister of the Environment is listening now because he's spending a lot of time on the Botanical Gardens. He's looking after the Botanical Gardens Park. He's planting all type of trees. But I want people in Bridgetown who are listening to me now, people who frequent Bridgetown who listen to me now, understand that anytime I call the program, I'm calling a fox. I am calling about Jubilee Gardens. Jubilee Gardens is awful. Rodents, vagrants, everything about Jubilee Gardens is awful. The stuff down between the drainage needs to be cleaned. It is stink, and anybody who listening to this program now can walk to Jubilee Gardens and say that what that man said is true. I'm saying this clearly, right? Somewhere along the line, that I believe that the people who invest in Jubilee Gardens across the road, BTI, can't be happy about the way it is being kept by NCC. I'm calling on NCC to go and wash down Jubilee Gardens, to clean Jubilee Gardens, make Jubilee Gardens as comfortable for people as it should be. And I'm saying this because I experienced it yesterday, I experienced it all the time, that somewhere along the line, that is as far as that is concerned. The second point, I heard a lot of talk about moving Parliament to Worthing. My position on this is I want to know if the same privileges that are given in Bridgetown, Wicket Street, and around that area will be given to the Worthing area. I also want to know if that area, which the building is said to be one of the buildings that was owned by Clico. I want to know, and I'm asking this question, somebody would have to tell me, because if you don't know, you don't know, that there's several other businesses, buildings within the precinct of Bridgetown. For example, the Mutual Building, which has just been renovated there by the Chinese, in the heart of Bridgetown. I want to know there's several other buildings I could call about four, but they call that because of the fact of the appearance and because of the fact that the move from the leader of the opposition office, from the staff, as far as I'm concerned, all the way up to Worthing. I want to know if any other buildings in the precincts of Bridgetown that were justifiable and suitable for the purpose of Parliament, higher house, lower house, the restaurant downstairs, whatever it may be. These are things that people need to ask the questions. People need to know. You can't just, because you got 30 people in Parliament and you just can't just let things happen and don't question. I heard you just now, and I'm very concerned about it. Follow the Education Act of 1948. Follow the Education Act of 1952. Follow the Education Act of 1966 under Elbar. Follow the University of the West Indies. We have produced several academics through the West Indies. Now I am hearing that in order for us to solve our problem, I hear how to solve our problem when we have the academics in the Caribbean, we have the academics here in Barbados, we have people who are qualified to make suggestions to government on the transformation of the common interest exam.
But you listen to the content of what the person spoke about?
I listen to the content.
Or you listen to the accent?
I listen to the accent and the content.
What do you think about the content?
I think the content, as far as I'm concerned, that we got people in this country, academics in this country, who can add...
That has nothing to do with content. What do you think about the content?
I don't think about the content because, as far as I'm concerned,
but
I want to.
You more want to deal with personalities and things. If somebody brings something that's valuable,
it's Greg for you.
You worry
you
about
call,
that.
You could call the person by the first name, you know, Greg and this boy and that boy. Right. They heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got this connection with this source that you could call.
But yes, Mark, I do have a content, but I look at the content.
Corey, you're not the same Corey Lane that I know. You seem to not going to love it. I am saying that.
But Mark, if somebody brings a contribution I believe is viable for our society, I am not like you. I'm not going to be myopic. I don't have toilet paper vision, tunnel vision that I can't see. If I see something, if it comes from who, it doesn't matter. So the personal attacks aside, I like to deal with personality and content.
You have to have toilet paper vision because you are a student of my class. so you can't be too far from my toilet paper.
Mark, Mark, this is public radio, and we have to be. You have to be civil. You all know you're dealing with me, Mark. We're dealing with the public. This is a.
I understand that.
Mark, go on, come again. You off base today. We can't take that sort of disrespect on the program of the listeners. Even not me. I was telling people was calling me, messaging me, oh, this and that. I said, no, I am not sensitive. And you brought a good contribution about Jubilee, and I let it go on. And then you come and you want to get nasty. Don't do that. This is a public program where we can discuss issues. Leave that behavior for the Ram Shop. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. 11 minutes afternoon. You're on the air. Good morning. Good afternoon, sorry. Down to brass tacks. Welcome. You're on the program. Good afternoon. Remember to listen to your telephones and not the radio. There's a 20-second delay. Brass tacks. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon. Yes, you're up next.
Mr. Lane?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I want to ask a few questions, right?
Yes, please.
That gentleman that you was calling tax man.
Let's call him the tax man, not the tax man.
Well, I know him as the tax man.
T-A-X?
I don't know T-A-X or X-A-T.
Mm-hmm.
That is why they say the tax man.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, he is the script man.
Because
he's the reader from a script. Right? That is one. Number two, you know, give Mr. Williams a very, very hard time. And then tell him that he disrespecting the reader and whatnot.
Explain to me, although this is not a program, this is not the time, and I'm not dealing with this, right? We here to deal with issues. You can hear me talk about issues, education, youth, the Canadian situation as it relates to tourism. This is not a referendum on any callers, moderators, or producers. This is down to brass tacks, which is for local, community, regional, international issues. But I must engage in it because the development of the program depends a bit on getting the feedback on and off air. Where did they give Mark a hard time?
Where?
Yes, how? He called, and the first thing he did was to start a complaint about time. He was brought in close to the news. Yeah. We have no control about that. What control do we have about that, sir?
Okay. He ain't got no control.
Good. Number two, he go on to talk about, I let people with an accent come here and bring what I believe to be a wonderful proposal about critical thinking. Now, the person could be from Ghana, could be from Finland, could be from Japan. If I find it to be positive, I want it out there in the open so Barbadians can see what is possible from around the world.
Okay,
what is bad about that, sir?
Okay, I judge you wrongfully. I'm sorry. They have another calling.
Who does that? And when was that done? Was the date and the time? Let me go and listen back to
the
podcast.
What do I tell you now about the dates? I don't keep dates.
All right, when did you hear that? Last week? This week? When? Let me go and listen. I never heard it.
You never heard.
When people come on the program, sir, right, and they stop dealing with issues and they want to come and be, they get in this sword fight with moderators and they dealing with personalities.
He was explaining things.
Right. If he explaining things and he is chased off, I don't support it. But any call, I don't care who they are, who the moderator is. When you come here to discuss the issues of the day. That is what this program is about. And if it is going to be about this foolishness, I am in the wrong place. I have too many important things to do to come here and discuss foolishness. If we can discuss, I am here to discuss national issues. And to bring, I'm explaining that to you and I want you to listen. I want you to listen carefully. Don't just hear, listen carefully. What you must come here for and what I must come here for and what listeners should come here for is how we can move the society, the country forward by discussing issues of the day. Okay?
Listen to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today is what day?
Today is the 26th of February, 2020, quarter afternoon.
This is the last time I listen to your brass tacks.
Okay. That's slipping somebody else. Two more might listen because you're not listening.
No, because of your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You win some, sir, and you lose some. We can move on. My attitude is that we can talk national issues. If people want to fight, go and listen to something else. Okay? We must all be respectful. And when you come and you make the charges, you must be able to explain what the charges are. And they want you to tell me about the attitude. They want you to tell me. And they want you to explain these things. Don't just drop them as charges. Okay? Okay. He's gone. Okay? Sorry to lose you. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon. Corey?
Yes, please.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yes, please.
I'm going to weigh in on this 11-plus issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the first things I'm going to say, this is 30 years too late. But it is here. Now, the next thing I'm going to say is 30. I am part of a charity who's involved with children. Mm-hmm. A few years ago, we came across someone that let us know about a child who was in need. When we went, we realized it was not just a physical need. This child has a desire to learn. The child really wants to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But the child has a lot of challenges. There are a lot of challenges, social, family, all kinds of things going wrong. We, the charity, one of the members of the charity, paid for the child to be assessed by specialists. When we brought the report, you know what the grandmother said? And this grandmother was not even the parental grandmother. This was just a woman in there, but who had taken the child. Oh, I have two more of those reports here from the ministry and from this place from a few years ago. The reports, all the reports done by different people read the same way.
Mm.
And the recommendation was that the child be helped in these areas before going forward. You know, Corey, that did not happen. You know he was moved up because of 11-plus must be met. Mm. You up must do the 11-plus. It must be done. No matter where you are in your development, this test must be done. And this is why. This is one of the pillars that must be removed. Yes, there are other problems. But for this thing to go forward, we need to knock it down so we can get on with the discussion and get it going.
Mm-hmm.
These people do not, people out there talking about it, do not understand the amount of social problems that we have. And we are not operating as though we are operating in a global world. We have to get our people ready. A lot of the work that will be done in the next 20 years, people will be working from home on a computer and working for a company in China, in Japan, in America, in Australia, in Austria, in Czechoslovakia, that kind of stuff. We won't be able to employ them here. This is the world that we're living in. We have to get our citizens to be the best in the world. Why do people do not understand about this?
You see, change is always hard. So you would expect it. There are some people who are tied to it. Some people, this is all they know. So you could understand, you know, the kind of reservation. The other thing is, it did not come with the alternative. So like one of my WhatsAppers said, they don't know if to celebrate or if to lament. I celebrated in advance. And one of the things I celebrated is, we should actually be happy that we don't know what the alternative is, because it gives us an opportunity at the consultations to help form that. And that is the kind of discussion that I think that we should be responsible here for, you know, and that is one of the things that we'll continue to push. I would like that Barbadians, whether they support the change or the drop-in or not, to come forward and add their voices. So we have as many voices, not the same old voices all the time. You know, you know, Kashi open a program of music, you hear them. You know, Slam got a thing, quick, you hear them. CBC, you hear them. And the problem with that, we respect you, hug you, love you, all of that. But I would like more Barbadians to get involved in the national discourse. What do you think Barbados would look like, could look like, should look like in the next 30, 50, 70, 100 years?
And you know what? This coming into this information that I didn't have before, especially when we got the report done,
mm-hmm.
it forced me to look globally at what is being done out there. It forced me to look at what we have here and if we can tweak what we have. Because we do not have the money that some places have, like Sweden or whatever the case may be. So what can we do that we can achieve the same thing mm-hmm. with less money?
Right. I think the approaches are usually where it is at. And it doesn't have anything to do with spending $1 million. If you're looking at facilities, yes, you're going to need resources. But when you're looking at an approach, how, for instance, teaching inside a dusty old hot building as opposed to teaching under a tree. Now, you could look at the different approaches and see it doesn't cost a lot of money to step outside. And that's just a minute part of it. I'm not saying I make a fundamental change and people start to learn because of the outside. But in terms of the comfort, in terms of being, you know, creative, in terms of teaching math on a chalkboard with trees as opposed to three marbles outside or three rocks if you want to be lower cost. You get right? So the whole practicality and the physical movement and the motor skills, all these different things. Approach doesn't cost the, it doesn't break the bank.
Majority of ideas in the world driven by creative thinking. Majority of ideas in the world driven by creative thinking. The some of the things that the creative thinkers might not have, they hire. You know, that when you look at places like Sweden, where the amount of hours the teachers teach is way less hours. They teach less hours.
Yep,
Way less hours. And way what they produce is way above people that we consider to be good. Countries that we consider to be good, they're way above them. They're in the top 10. Teachers work less. So if we can get this rolling, we can actually pay the teachers the same money that they're paying now, and they do less hours with greater results. This is what we need to be driving for.
But let me talk about how less, because I, in the documentary, I see some of these schools do 3 and 4 days a week. 3 and 4 hours a day. Homework is illegal. You understand? So we're not just talking about 2 or 3 hours less a week. So and these are discussions that excite me. Discussions that look at progress and programs and the way that we can lay out projects and so on, as opposed to picking and personalities and being so, you know what I mean?
We haven't got the time for that. Leave that at the corner or the ram shop, man. Exactly. The 1980s was the last that we should be dealing with politics on that level.
Correct.
We are in a place in the world where we have to get things done. And if Santia gets this done, I would move to her constituency and vote for her.
Jeez, oh, brother. That's what support and constituency support should be about.
If she's able to achieve this, I would switch and I would vote for her. Because this is, listen to me. This educational thing is one of the most critical things that Barbados needs to get solved, and get it solved now if we are going to turn this country around.
Fair enough.
Our educational system.
What I want you to do, no, to me, that's what we've dealt with just now is generalizations, right? What I want you to do is the next time you call, come prepared with some specifics. Whether I am the moderator or whoever, I want you to come with specifics, and then we move it every time. And every call, if every caller does that, you know, we come, they got some, they come with, you know, warmed over soup every day. But let me come and we put in some dumplings today. Put in your dashing to next week, you know? That's what we want us to do with this. So next time, especially if I'm on, I can be excited to hear some specifics from you, sir.
Okay? Don't worry, I would pull up some of my information that I have.
And it don't got to be all, you don't got to bite all the same time every chew. Let me get one bite at a time.
Yeah,
one
exactly.
bite. Right?
Half of an apple today.
Half of a half. Thank you very much, sir. Wonderful. Good redeeming call. Brad Stats, good afternoon. You on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Am I the one who's on?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Now, I want to ask, why would you even think of abolishing the 11 plus before you decide what you're going to replace it with? Suppose that when all is done, you find that the 11 plus should remain. That's first.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, why is the 11 plus being called elitist? I think I heard that term.
Yep.
With the elitist. The 11 plus is not elitist. There's nothing at all elitist about that exam. And also the guy who said that the lady had all these reports and never took the child anywhere, that doesn't have anything to do with the 11 plus. And the fact also that the 11 plus has to be done by all, you just have to remove that requirement that the 11 plus should be done by all. Don't remove the 11 plus. Remove that requirement.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are things that can take forward Barbados.
I think you sound very reasonable, and I like your three questions. Go ahead.
The guy who said it's Switzerland that does so many less hours.
It is Finland, I know for sure. Finland,
okay.
For sure.
Suppose you consider China. China does many more hours. Taiwan does many, many more hours. So you have to look at what is good for you.
But in terms of the global education index, you will see Finland, Norway, there's a couple others that are at the top above China. And then China and Japan, what are they doing? They're doing a broader thing in terms, I know in terms of Japan, the students spend a lot of time cleaning their own classrooms. They do a lot of physical stuff. They do a lot of things in addition to what is the traditional academic curriculum. They're learning a lot of different things.
Well, that might not... Well, it is what fits you. Barbados might not want our children cleaning the classrooms because we haven't come along with that. But China is a place where you work, where you live. You live on the site. You work there. So we need a Barbados solution. And a lot of what I'm hearing is not about abolishing 11 plus, because I don't think that if a child is slated for center, you know, you call a center, one where you, a child that can hardly read or write, I don't think it makes sense to put him with a child that is slated for Harrison's College. That, to me, would make no sense at all.
No, that's where the elitism comes in, where people believe you need
but
to separate.
Elitism.
Let me explain.
The poorest child could be bright and go to Harrison's College.
It is academical elitism and not economical, is educational, right? Or
well,
what we call academical.
Well, if it's academic elitism, it should remain.
Right. And it is fair enough for people to believe on either side. Now, I wanted to answer the questions that you asked, but I think those questions are better... should be better answered by the minister. Why did you come with know that you're going to stop it without knowing what the alternative is? And I think one of the reasons for that could be you want to be able to discuss it. And then one could say you should probably discuss it, come to a consensus, and then end it. I think that they just knew from all of the research that it just was not working and they need a new system. And they probably, by doing that, they can be no extensions unless they will have to return the 11 plus, but to know that there must be a better way. Now, one of the things I want people to consider, because I saw someone wrote on Facebook yesterday, imagine my child who got marks for Harrison College and got to go to St. George because I live in St. George and sit down with somebody else that get 30%, and it was going on, and I do respect their...
Well, that's an intelligent observation.
Right, so there are some people that think like that. The question is...
Think like that. It's not just... you say it as though there's a flaw with the person's thinking.
No. There are people that think like they could be mixed and people that think that you shouldn't mix them. So they think they're two different thinkings. That's what I mean. It's not derogatory. Thinking is not a derogatory term. There are people that think like that and there are people that think alternatively. Now, in primary school, what do? We mix them in the school but separate them by class. So that's another option. Why can't we have all the people from one area going to one school but separate by class in terms of people's knowledge base, speciality, in terms of maybe sports, it may be skills, it may be vocational, it may be academic. Why can't we do it that way? You get where I'm coming from?
Yes, I get what you're coming from, but...
But when you say you don't want your bright child sitting down next to a child that is less bright, I personally have some difficulties with that. We give our children the wrong message from the get-go. But we have a year and a few months to get this thing right, and the music tells us it's time to go to the latest from the Starcom Network News. So we're going to discuss this some more. If you want to hold, speak to the producer. If not, we'll pick it up on another day on Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Stats. I'm your host, Corey Lane, producer Michelle Braffitt. We go until 2 p.m. this afternoon. Give us a call, 434-1790, or send your WhatsApp to 266-4862. On this segment of Brass Stats going forward, I'm going to try to put a lot more effort in getting some of these WhatsApps across. So I'm going to try to balance it with some calls and some WhatsApps, particularly the ones with announcements, ideas, and messaging, and so on. Anybody want to attack, you got to call. If you're going to come and be salacious. Of course, if you're attacking me, I can read it. But if you're just generally attacking, you're going to have to call and face the music. So let's get a couple of WhatsApps here and then go to the line. Corey, this thing about the behavior of our school children, as well as the conductors and drivers on the private transport vehicles in Barbados, is terribly atrocious, absolutely disgusting, and getting worse by the second. You owe today's Brass Tacks audience the deserved opportunity to hear from the Transport Authority about this. Several of us are plagued and marginalized by this behavior on both the Silver Hill and Silver Sands route. As we do, visitors sit on board as well with their ears, eyes, and mouth open wide in total awe. And if I write this early, would have tried to line up them on the line, but I'm going to try a thing. Can't promise, but it'd be good to hear from them because I know as they have brought out some initiative in terms of suspending licenses and so on. You know, hit them where it hurts in the pocket. And then, as usual, things in Barbados, a little zero tolerance, and then we pull back. So that is interesting. Someone is saying, are you going to punish the children for being bright? When we look at it this way, I wonder how these people felt from 1962 till now for punishing people for what you call to be duncey, because they're not the best at maths and English. No matter if the bright hat, everything else, if you're not bright at maths and English, you're considered duncey, and it's okay to punish them. I don't see how mixing children is a punishment for the bright. I really don't. Personally, not even to say if you're bright, you can stay bright, and if you're duncey, you can stay duncey. No, duncey is not my word. It's theirs. This one says, Mr. Mears. I would take that name for now. Making a community announcement would help the security in the Fairchild Street Transport Board bus terminal, because the working passengers are taken into the terminal gates to leave the buses. This morning, I witnessed security telling passengers they are not allowed to leave via the terminal entrance. Another one, management, please let drivers know that the buses no longer travel via Rupert Street. When the buses reach the Globe roundabout, it travels via Hall Road, Hospital, and River Road. This last one before we go back to the line, so get ready over there on the telephone lines. Corey, the standard of my favorite station. Don't allow it to fall. One of your callers set a very high standard on a program elsewhere, but will come on VOB, rant and rave. If the Star Radio people who had died return, they'll probably hang themselves in shame at the sudden fall of standards. I rest my case. And I rest mine and go back to an issues-driven program on Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning and welcome.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, sorry.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Yes, please.
Hi, how are you?
I am fine, thanks, and you?
I am on over the moon.
Oh, you could imagine.
No.
Christmas come early for you.
No, Christmas is every day for me. Corey, I think you know today's Ash Wednesday.
That's correct.
And I am not hearing your normal self today, mm-hmm. to be very honest. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe you overslept, maybe you got up on the wrong side of the bed.
I didn't sleep enough.
Or it could be. No. Let me answer some questions. One, I'm not dealing with education right now. The bus system. I don't know if yes, you heard me. I traveled on the minibus, the yellow buses, for about a week, 2 weeks ago. And I sent in at least 4 complaints, Corey, to the authorities. I'm saying sending complaints, in my opinion, does not help. People have been doing that for years. I am saying, Corey, if you have control of a system, all right, and you give me 5 buses to drive, whether you own them or not, I say the same way they have put legislation in place for seat belts and the other things, I am saying there needs to be legislation on the buses about the music, Corey. Mm-hmm. The music.
I understand they've always had legislation about that.
So why music. Isn't it not being policed, Corey?
Well, there you...
That's like the lady just called mm-hmm. in and said, mm-hmm. how long are we going to let our children, I mean, they like it too, carry on with this kind of behavior, one, and allow drivers to play all that lewd music, mm-hmm. pay bus fare, people like me who had to pay for the week, and I'm thankful I had to drive on the bus because I like to get on the ground to hear. And then have people like drivers, big men, and conductors cursing and behaving in the
So how do we know the behavior? The behavior has been there for, what, 35 years now? We know the behavior.
We are going to say that next year in 2021.
Right, we know it, but no, so no, we got to talk about how do we actually get it moved.
Corey, you see,
I want to throw...
If I had to deal with that, that would be a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
And I am, you see, I am tired of all this thing about sending a complaint. Colin said nothing is being
done. I went through that through the window. I think they need to use that, but go further by doing something after you get the complaint. But before we get there, Sandy, I want to throw something new into the discussion. I believe it's new. I never heard about it before. Now, one of the things I've been following is the question you asked. Why is it not being policed? From what I understand, if you remember a few weeks ago, they had suspended some permits. You remember that?
Correct.
And quick, so there was a backing off. Because there was a loophole in the law. And even with the music, and even with this, there's always some loophole in the law. And I believe that there are legal experts who have looked at the law and they've recognized the loopholes. And I believe that the lawyers who defend the owners and so on, they have good lawyers that probably look at it. What the commuters need is equally or better lawyers who can look at the legislation or argue on the other side to make the implementing and the policing of this more effective. Because every time transport authorities seem to go up against this at a legal standpoint, they seem to lose. So who is writing the law and who is plugging these loopholes?
I heard you, but I am tired hearing the lip service in this country. And I am talking from my heart because I get very emotional about things like this.
But which one you feel can be more effective, Sandy? Speaking from your heart or fixing the loopholes in the legislative system?
But who fixing the loopholes, Corey?
No.
I bet you next year, 26th of March, February, if we live 2021,
yes,
you and I are going to be discussing this same issue.
You have no disagreement there with me.
Because I'm the same thing the guy called in. I want to allude to him about the diagnostic testing when the lady got the three reports and nothing was done. I have been speaking about that for since I born.
But Sandy, I believe speaking from your heart, right, would be to say to the rest of the public to join you, call in here and let us hold the policymakers' feet to the fire. So look, we want this fixed.
That's what I call you about.
We want this fixed. I believe that the suspending of permits is the best way to go. People tell me you should not penalize the owners for their drivers. I think that that's the only way they're going to hold their drivers and conductors to account.
And all those countries got these things done. You cannot spit on the street in Singapore and in Switzerland. Why people, other countries get it done? But I'm only hearing, we should do this, we should do that. Mm-hmm. But who is doing it?
Yep.
People like me do what I have to do. All right, I can't manage a whole society. I work with people who are helping children who are less fortunate, who need help. Why the people who supposed to be... I am not seeing Corey, and I'm being very straightforward. All right, and you need to bring a program, a Sunday program, and bring people like Eiffel, people like myself and so on, that come in with solutions.
I believe you guys should be on the advisory committee that was set up by the ministry. I don't have the composition of it, but I believe y'all should be on it.
That's what I'm saying. And because next year you would tell me, y'all should have been on that, but nothing happens, Corey.
Let me clear my hand. I didn't set up the committee and I didn't appoint.
I know you haven't. Just saying, but I have to speak it into being. You know why? Right. I am tired of the lip service and the people who have the passion. All right? Like me, I take my spare time, free time, and go and work with children who just can't read. The man is in the van. Okay? Forget the diagnostic testing. As the guy said that the lady had three reports, I am sure those reports are still there waiting. Right? All the things I spoke about since I was born on this particular program, all these things about too many, another caller called in and said there are too many children in a classroom. I've been saying that since I knew myself.
Correct. That's why I told him that's not, that's saying that needs to move, we need to move the needle.
People who are passionate and who know. And do not bring people who just want to talk, right?
I want to go back to something you talked about earlier. With the vans, we have ENS on the line. So I don't know if Sandy brought him out. So I don't know. Speaking from your heart has had some kind of effect. So you wanna stay and join with us on this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Could we conference in Mr. ENS? Good afternoon and welcome, sir.
Hi, Corey. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Now to have you on the line.
Okay.
Thank you for responding.
I just wanted to clarify one or two things that the caller had said.
Mm-hmm. And she's still on the line with you, by the way, just so that you know, okay?
Good afternoon, Leon. Mm-hmm.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
The background, though. Corey, you're quite correct that there still exists some loopholes in the legislation, which are being worked on currently. However, you were right that we did institute some suspensions, and we had to rescind them because of the said loopholes. Our biggest problem, though, is that we get reports. We get many reports all day, every day, mm-hmm. whether it's beyond the hotline,
yep.
whether by WhatsApp, email, in person. We get, but you know the problem, Corey?
What?
Requires that the person who is making the complaint,
come forward.
If there ever is a hearing emanating from that complaint,
mm.
that the person, we must have a witness to support the charge. That is where it all falls down.
Sandy, as someone who made a complaint, would you come forward?
Of course. Listen, mm-hmm. my God is with me, so I can deal with anything, Corey. Because I told you, I said yesterday, there were tourists on the bus from Sunset Crest. Okay? And they got off the bus because of the behavior. I have never seen, I've seen bad behavior, not that behavior. They had to get off the bus, paid their money, and had to get off to wait then on the transport board bus. That's not fair, Corey, because we are saying tourism is our business. We have to, that has to be part of the bus system. And when you have 50,000 children in a bus carrying on, pulling up the clothes and then lewd lyrics and the driver turning on the dial and telling me, ma'am, no disrespect, but I have to change the dial. I have to block my ears. I'm saying,
Mr. Esway, hold a minute, Sandy. I could understand and appreciate our culture that the large majority of persons may not come forward, but there are people like Sandy who say, listen, I will come forward. Have we had any success with any coming forward at all, even if it's one or two, which could help send a signal to the other drivers?
Oh, yes. Mm. But
what happens in those cases?
Yeah, but there are suspensions. We don't broadcast them. We don't publish them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they are suspensions.
Mm.
But the fact is that we do not have any bottomless pit when it comes to money. We have no inspectors as such.
Mm-hmm.
We have one person who we employ from time to time to go on the roads and see what is happening. But we send him to specific areas where we have reports of, you know, bad behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Come down, Ian, let me stick a pin here. Come down to the bus stop before Sunset Crest by Discovery Bay. I have done it 7 times last week. And I did it purposely because I said I don't want people to say
That is the bus stop out of town or into town?
No, the one coming into town from there by St. James Secondary. You can't, when you're on the bus, you have to get off. Trust me, you will die of claustrophobia and lewd lyrics. You will die, your ears will burst with the lewd lyrics. And I am telling you, you can have a driver, Ian, hear me out, where you can have a driver, because I spoke to him very, very seriously. And I took the number. He is telling me, no disrespect, ma'am, no disrespect. You're the only respectful person on the bus. I said, are you, as a big man, say that this is good? That this is right?
Sandy, pause. Let me get a response from Ian because we got to take the ICAB for a minute in just about 2 minutes. So just let me hear the response from Ian quickly on that.
Quickly, Sandy, if you could call us directly about that complaint, 836-1778.
Let me take the number.
Say it again, slowly.
836-1778.
Mm-hmm.
We are now, Corey, for the general public, we are now looking at legislation targeting the drivers themselves.
Right.
Yeah, Ian, this can't continue, Ian.
All right, we're going to take a break for the ICAP thing. Ian, stay on the line and speak to the producer. Let's see if we can just reconnect, get a little bit more information on that new initiative. But we're going to take a break. And we're going to come right back.